compassionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in a 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
I'd always share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold day. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You beat all the colds you give me.
Morning, Henry.
Good morning, Kate. I don't usually call on young ladies or any ladies at an hour like this, but...
Never mind the bus. Come on in.
I think Belhaven's due for more snow.
Oh, Henry, will you have some coffee?
No, thank you. I drink my coffee at breakfast, and that does it.
That's character.
No. It's stubbornness, Kate. My dear, I've been thinking about you.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll take my scolding.
Not at all, my dear. I came over in admiration.
Oh. Well, this is a big day.
I'd like to think I'm improving.
Well, come on into the study.
Arthur's study. Not a thing changed.
He was a remarkable man. But he scared me.
He scared a lot of people. Arthur had principles. Kate, I know you're going down there to Jamaica.
Yes, Henry, I am. And thanks to you, at least I know where to begin. Glory Point.
You just can't go down to a point of land by yourself. What is it? Where is it? Is there anything there?
Yes, there is. I came across it one day at our office when I was looking through a listing of big estates for sale.
Mm-hmm.
There's a house there on an old estate. It's called Glory Hall.
Do you know anything about it?
Well, I'm going to find out more. If there's a house, there must be people.
Kate, this is foolhardy. Maybe dangerous.
If anyone there knew Tom, I want to know them.
I came here resolved to help you, Kate, not to put obstacles in your way. So I'm going to tell you one thing I admitted yesterday. It may hurt you, but now I feel you should know. When Tom was talking so wildly to me the last day of his illness, he mentioned a girl.
A girl?
He said she was his spirit guide, whatever that means. He called her Francesca. Never anything more.
Francesca?
Yes. Once he said, "Tell Francesca I lost." Kate, my dear, I wasn't going to tell you this, but now...
Oh, it's all right, Henry, really.
If you must go, she might be a friend.
Henry, I'm very grateful.
Kate! Hi, Nancy. Hey, I thought you weren't coming.
Oh, never miss a chance for coffee at Joe's place. I got a little delayed.
Hey, what train are you taking?
Anyone that's around when you and I have finished talking.
You mean you're staying just for me?
That's right.
Hey, I guess I was pretty awful last night.
Oh, you just walked out on us, that's all.
Well, Mom and Dad were laughing at me, and then I thought, well, you and David would like to be alone.
Oh, come on, you silly.
Well, sometimes it's just easier to be absent than present.
Don't I know that? That's no reason for running off.
Well, I felt pretty foolish, asking if I could come down and stay with you in the city. When I'd just be in the way.
Honey, it'll be wonderful to have you. I just have to be out of town for a while on business.
Kate,
What?
Kate, could I come with you?
When?
Now, on this business trip you're taking. I could be your secretary and take notes and look after things.
Oh, honey.
Oh, well, look, I'm not kidding. Why does everybody think I'm kidding?
I don't think you're kidding, but I couldn't take you with me.
Why not?
I just can't on this trip.
Oh, then David can't let me work on the paper. Okay. Okay.
Why don't you talk, Nancy?
What is wrong these days? I've drunk this life to its dregs. Babysitting in Bellhaven. That's all.
Is that the trouble, honey? No job?
That's part of it.
And the other part?
Ah, you wouldn't understand, Kate. You've never been frustrated.
Never been frustrated? Oh, Nancy!
Look, I'm 18 and you were married at 19.
And I made a very bad mistake. I'm still paying for it.
Did anybody try to stop you?
No, I did it all on my own.
See, I haven't even had the luck to make a mistake.
Nancy, do you want to get married?
It would be a change.
Are you in love?
Oh, of course not. When did you say that?
It happens.
I have more sense to fall in love with a guy who isn't in love with me.
Are you sure he isn't? Oh,
he doesn't even know I'm on the same planet. I mean, if there was such a guy.
Well, then you'll just have to find a way of telling him.
How? I mean, this is silly, Kate. I mean, if a guy likes you, he lets you know, right?
Doesn't not he? Always.
Kate, I just had the most wonderful idea. How long are you going to be away?
I don't know yet.
Listen, could I come to the city and stay in your room at the studio club while you're gone? I mean, I wouldn't just hang around. I'd go to lectures and things.
Well, I don't know. Why not?
Oh, it would be neat. You see? Then he'd know I wasn't around instead of not knowing that I am around. And that would solve everything, wouldn't it? Oh, Kate, how soon are you going?
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Gloria, did you reach Mrs. Wakefield in Bellhaven? She'd left. Well, do you know what train she's coming down on? That's Mrs. Jessup, bless her heart. She's a Scottish housekeeper. My one friend in Bellhaven. Gets in when? 2:28. Good girl. I'm going out for lunch now with Mrs. Cushing. Gloria, why don't you just wait on the plane ticket? Yeah, well, I'll leave for Paris when I'm ready. Thanks, honey.
Oh, darling, the old thrill when I meet you in a restaurant.
This table all right?
We used to sit in the corner, don't you remember? Dim and romantic and hold hands.
You're putting me on, Claire.
Well, maybe it wasn't the same restaurant.
Or even the same guy.
Oh, for a moment I thought it was going to be romantic. You know, playing our song.
I can't remember that we ever had one.
You were too busy making a success.
Mm-hmm. And you disliked sentiment.
Yes, what a pair we were. We never could have lasted under the same roof. Yes, I will have a cocktail. The usual.
Waiter.
Oui, monsieur.
A very dry martini for the lady.
A double, darling?
A double dry martini for the lady. I'll have clam and tomato juice.
Oh, Tony. You're getting dull.
I think you're right, Claire. But then my life isn't exactly what I'd choose.
Oh, Tony, not that again. I've closed the subject of a divorce. You have your own life. Except when you get into the mess you're in now and need me.
Claire, I'm not in a mess. I found the girl I want. I intend to push for a divorce.
How?
My lawyer will talk to your lawyer.
All that money wasted. Well, that's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Darling, Hugh, your esteemed boss, is losing his mind.
Good. Maybe he'll be easier to get along with.
I'm not fooling. You should be in Paris right now, and instead you're seeing this girl, Kate. Now, he wants you to get rid of her.
The day Hugh Fletcher can tell me that...
Tony, don't try to take him on. He is the head of the corporation. He'll be retiring someday, and you're next in line. You've got to play it his way.
Was it his idea or yours that we have lunch together today?
It was mine. I was even a little sentimental about it. I wanted to warn you, Tony.
About what?
If you go on seeing Kate, you're heading for a showdown with Hugh.
When he begins to interfere in my personal life...
He does not give a damn about your personal life. You could have a dozen girls and he wouldn't care. But not Kate Wakefield.
It so happens it is Kate Wakefield. I want to marry her.
I laugh that I may not weep, as the French say.
Sure, sure. Sounds funny, I know. But I'll make a go of marriage with Kate.
She will bow to your every whim.
She hasn't bowed to any of them yet.
Her husband was in the dirtiest racket known. People forgive a lot, but they do not forgive drug smuggling. Your career could hang in the balance.
Let it hang.
Oh, Tony, you don't mean that.
I don't care what Tom Wakefield got into 5 years ago. I've told Kate that.
What Tom Wakefield was into 5 years ago is still going strong. That little cocaine traffic is now all through the islands.
How do you know that?
I've spent a good deal of time down there. I have friends. They tell me. In fact, I'm leaving for Hugh's place shortly.
Have a nice time, Claire.
Tony, please. Won't you listen to me? For your own sake. Give Kate Wakefield up before you lose everything you've accomplished.
Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On. So economical, yet so effective.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
My dear listeners, well met. I am, should anyone ask, Vanity Fair's author William Makepeace Thackeray. In this chapter, like it or no, we must observe Miss Matilda Crawley at the mercy of Mrs. Bute. Be reminded, please, that if anyone tells Miss Crawley she is or looks ill, the trembling old lady instantly is ill. Now, I dare say to some degree she felt poorly following the sudden family debacle yesterday, but her hovering sister-in-law made bad worse.
Oh, my dear Matilda, how wretched, how pale and tragic you look. I have arranged for Dr. Swinnerton to call twice a day, the apothecary once, and you are to take your medicines every 2 hours. It is clear to me you are exceedingly ill.
When anyone enters Miss Crawley's sick chamber, pious Mrs. Bute utters a shh so ominous that it frightens the poor lady, fuddled with medicines and huddled in her bed. Mrs. Bute sits steadfast in the armchair at bedside. And now she begins to instill into the patient a proper abhorrence for Rawdon, lest he be received back into his auntie's good graces.
Dear, dear Matilda, you shall not weep over the loss of Rawdon. I know your sadness and can remove it from you.
Yes, yes, take it away. It is past bearing.
Now, you will be sad no more when you know his true character.
I know his true character. I know him well. Such a dear boy until this wretched marriage.
Oh, how cleverly he has kept the truth from you. We in the family have long been dismayed, but kept silent, and now it is my unhappy duty to tell you his history. Let us speak first of his duel with Captain Quarabrace.
So brave Rawdon was.
My dear, I have the particulars of that ugly quarrel. Rawdon was wrong from the beginning.
Brave?
Desperate. We had to shoot young Firebrace to prevent the truth coming out.
But Rawdon said... He said he had been insulted.
Oh, yes. Not so. Rawdon began the quarrel, insulted the captain, challenged him, killed him.
Rawdon? Oh, surely not. Oh, I cannot get it straight in my head. I must discuss it with him.
And be tricked yet again. I will get it straight in your head.
Oh, no. I don't want to talk of it more.
Oh, there. We start. I shall change the topic at once. Dear Matilda, do you know the agonies of country families whose daughters Rawdon has ruined?
What are you saying?
No, I shall say no more. It is too painful for you to hear the astounding rogueries and falsehoods by which he has imposed upon the most generous of aunties.
Can this truly be my Rawdon?
Your Rawdon no longer, nor do you want him, for he will come to perdition. Sleep now, Matilda, sleep. I shall not leave your side. And that you may be sure.
Listeners may be sure that as the days wear on, Mrs. Bute will bring forward such a catalogue of Captain Crawley's sins as would serve to condemn a whole regiment of officers. Be it remarked that if a man has committed wrongs, however small, no moralist is more anxious to tell and exaggerate them than his own relations. Bide, please, I shall return with more agreeable news. Little furnished cottage is what is wanted by Captain and Mrs. Crawley. They have visited seven, looked, scowled, and departed. None suited the charming bride. Now, the eighth. A perfect abode. How Becky's feet, like little mice under her petticoats, have run up and down the stairs, in and out of rooms, whilst Mr. Thistlewood, the landlord, nodded and smiled to shelter such winsome beauty in his house. Discreetly now, he has stepped into the garden, leaving the young guardsman and his wife alone to decide if they are suited.
You do like it, Rawdon. You do?
I do, dear, but...
Cottage straight from a fairy tale, and we are the prince and princess.
My princess, the cost
is... Oh, 4 guineas a week.
16 a month? We can't, my darling, can't.
No, can't and won't.
Oh, Dad, I thought you'd vow we could and would.
How can you think I'd be so foolish?
Beck, you do keep saying Auntie will take us back. Our expectations are what always they were.
She will, they are. But until that artful Mrs. Bute departs, we must manage on our own. Of a certain, we shan't pay 4 guineas a week for lodging.
Alas, my angel, I meant you to have a palace, but even a proper cottage must wait. Come, we'll go out to the garden and tell Mr. Thistlewood he must find other lodgers.
No, you will go to the garden, stay in the garden, and send Mr. Thistlewood to me. He's just there on the terrace. Go. Stay and send.
My little sly boots, you mean to argue him down?
No, I shan't argue at all.
Why then do you want to see him?
Only to say I'm sorry. Go and stay.
Yes, sir. Commander.
Well, Captain Crawley?
Commander Mrs. Crawley would like to see you inside, sir. I'll just have a look round the garden.
Fine garden, Captain. Woodbine, muskrows, gillyflowers, lavender, harebells, lady smocks, and all manner of trees.
You're proud of it, I'm sure.
Mrs. Crawley?
I heard you speak of the garden. How beautiful it will be in spring. It breaks my heart I shan't see it.
You're not letting the house. I thought you were much taken with it.
Taken? No. I've fallen in love with it, Mr. Thistlewood.
Then why? Is it too dear?
Not too dear at all. You ask far too little for perfection.
Then, my dear lady, why are you not taking it?
Too dear for us, but not for its treasures. Do, please, not let it to anyone who does not love it as I do. I can't bear to think of someone here callous to its beauty. You said your dear departed wife decorated it all herself. In her memory, promise you'll let it only to those who appreciate its every inch.
I hadn't just thought of it before, but yes, Esmeralda would want it so.
I especially love the bow window here in her sitting room. Did she sometimes rest on the window seat, listening to the sparrows twittering in the ivy outside the casement? Oh, I'm certain she did, as I might have done.
She did often sit there.
And I may, yes. When my husband comes into the fortune bequeathed him by his aunt Matilda Crawley, or another by his father, Sir Pitt Crawley, both of them very elderly, then I shall come back and pay you 10 guineas, sir, or any sum you ask to dwell in this place. Two fortunes mean nothing to me, only beauty. I don't crave a palace or great rooms, French cooks or fine stables. I want perfection. And it is here, in this little jewel of a house.
Mrs. Crawley, 3 guineas a week?
Oh, how kind of you. I'm afraid it is still too dear. I'll call my husband now and not trouble you any further. Rawdon, it is time to go, my darling.
2 guineas. What?
2? Oh, you could not, must not.
Can, will. Esmeralda would wish it.
No, it's not fair to you or the cottage. Oh, I'll not hear of it.
I insist, Mrs. Crawley. I beg you, implore you.
I say, Mr. Thistlewood, it's a capital garden.
Dearest, you will not believe. This dear, good, generous man implores us for 2 wretched guineas a week to live in this paradise.
Oh, ladies, gentlemen, I give you Miss Becky Sharp. Alias, of course, Mrs. Crawley. Cannot grow accustomed to that name. Well, join her and me tomorrow, dear listeners, your devoted, obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Charles Kimbrough portrays Rawdon Crawley. And your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old chick.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This is your cold day. You sneeze first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought 4-Way Nasal Spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than 4-Way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You beat all the colds you give me.
I just hate all these sudden business trips you have to take.
Well, I'm not too crazy about them either.
Especially in the wintertime. Hate to have you flying when there are all these snowstorms.
It's not stormy, it's just snowing.
Well, you taking that big suitcase, honey? Just for 2 days?
I don't have any other. Actually, what I need is a one-suiter.
Now you tell me. I could have gotten you one for Christmas when I was so desperate for ideas for you never mentioned it.
I never thought of it. Get me out some clean socks, too.
Yeah, I did, dear. I did. Why don't you take my smaller suitcase?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, I don't mind at all, dear. I'll get it.
No, I don't want it.
It's ridiculous you're taking this huge suitcase.
I don't want yours, thanks very much, anyhow. For one thing, it's blue. I'm not going to travel with a blue suitcase.
Why?
Well, I'm just not, that's all. How's it look for a man to have bright blue luggage?
Oh, it just isn't bright blue. It's a nice, soft blue. Anyhow, who's going to see it?
Well, everybody.
What do you mean by everybody? Clerk at the airport? Bellhop at the hotel?
I am not taking a blue suitcase and that's that.
Oh, you get the silliest notions. As though the bellhop cared what color your bag is. He probably wouldn't even notice he handles so many every day.
I'm taking my own anyway. And I may have to put in an extra suit just to fill it up so my other one won't wrinkle.
I tried to take a spot off your necktie, but I think I just made it worse. You better pick out another tie, dear.
Oh, yeah, golly, yes. Oh, boy, look at the time. Joe Rutger's picking me up, and he's always on time. I better step on it.
Oh, it's nice of him to drive you all the way to the airport.
Oh, he's going with me to Chicago. Then tomorrow he goes on to Japan. I'll drive his car back from the airport tomorrow.
Japan? Ooh, I'm glad you're not flying all that way. You want me to put in two or three clean shirts?
No, one extra is probably enough. But put in three, you never know.
You sure the planes are flying today? It's snowing.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I don't like you flying in weather like this.
I'm sure the airports are keeping an eye on the weather. Hey, my shaving kit.
I certainly hope the airports are keeping an eye on the weather. I read an article the other day about those people who work in the control towers. And it said they're just nervous wrecks at the end of their shifts because of the terrible responsibility, you know, keeping track of all...
Don't forget to put in my bedroom slippers.
I keep thinking of those two planes that nearly crashed into each other. You remember? A month or so ago, it said they were only about 40 feet apart when the one suddenly had to take a nosedive and all the food and the carts and the people flew up to the ceiling. I mean,
look,
I was really...
sweetheart, I'm flying today. Do we have to discuss plane crashes?
No, they didn't crash.
Well,
they just
why think about it?
I hate to have you fly. I'd rather you took a bus.
Well, I have to be in Chicago tomorrow.
The weather in Chicago is always unpredictable. What if it's a real blizzard there and you can't land?
Well, then they'll reroute the plane to an airport where we can land.
But if you get on one of those big planes, there aren't a lot of airports that have big enough landing strips, are there?
I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it. Now, where's my electric razor?
Well, it should be there, dear. Look on the shelf. Dallas has a nice big new airport.
Well, they wouldn't reroute the plane all the way to Texas.
No, I suppose not. And yeah, I suppose it wouldn't have enough gas to begin with.
Why, those big planes, they carry plenty of fuel. They fly nonstop coast to coast.
Oh, that's right. Of course they do. Don't forget your toothbrush.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a brand new tube of toothpaste in the medicine cabinet. Please take it. Every time you go on a business trip there, you take the toothpaste.
I do?
Yeah. Leave me
alone. I guess I do.
So there's a tube just for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, travel tube. Look at it snow. None of the people in the control tower see anything. I can't even see Evie's house. It's snowing so.
Well, they have radar screens.
Oh, yeah, sure. They always work?
Oh, honey, yes, yes. Did you pack my bathrobe?
Oh, no, but I will. Radar screens must work by electricity, I suppose. What if the current goes off? In snowstorms, power lines often break down.
Oh, they're like hospitals. They have emergency generators, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, they have to have lights. So the planes can see the land.
Well, they bring the planes down with radar beams if the pilot can't see anything.
Oh, it just gives me the willies. The idea of depending on something funny like that, of knowing the pilot can't even see the field.
Do you think we could possibly change the subject?
Well, it's all I can think of, I tell you.
What are you trying to do? Get me worried?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to go.
Well, I don't want to go either, but it's my job. Oh, boy, look at that snow come down. It seems to be getting worse, too.
Don't go.
I have to go. It's my business.
Business certainly is more important than your life.
My life isn't very important if I don't have a job.
Can't you postpone the trip? Call Mr. Cranshaw and tell him you can't go.
What excuse would I give? No. It's a very important business meeting, and Cranshaw should have gone himself, but he has the flu.
Tell him you've got the flu. Tell him anything.
He knows I haven't got the flu.
Well, all right, Bob, why not tell him the truth? Tell him you don't like flying in this weather.
No, I can't do that. What, tell him I'm afraid to fly?
In this weather.
The truth, the real truth is that I'm afraid to fly in any weather. I hate it. I'm scared every time I go up.
Well, I thought you liked flying.
Oh, well, once we're up in the air, I'm all right. More or less, but I say a prayer every time those wheels land safely on the ground.
Call the airport. Ask about the weather conditions, or rather the flying conditions, so you have something definite to tell Mr. Cranshaw. And then, dear, please, call him and say you'd better postpone the trip. I'm sure he will understand.
Now, he will not understand. Mr. Cranshaw was a pilot in the Navy. He used to land planes on a carrier at night in the middle of the Pacific.
Oh. Well, call the airport anyway and see what they say.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Why don't you call the airport again? Maybe flying conditions have changed in the last 15 minutes.
No, I'm not calling again. Whoever I talked to seemed surprised I called at all. He was very cheerful. He said all planes are taking off and landing on schedule.
Oh, what about the Chicago airport, did you ask? Planes landing all right? I mean, it's snowing there, too. I just got the weather.
No, apparently everything is fine and dandy at the Chicago airport, too.
Oh, I just can't believe it.
Now, look, I'm going. That's all. I can't call Mr. Cranshaw. The first thing he'd do is check the airport, too. He loves flying. He'd take off in a balloon in a hurricane. He'd think it was fun.
You're putting on your overshoes already?
Well, Joe will be here any minute. I want to be ready.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've got my suitcase there, my briefcase here.
You got your wallet, your credit cards?
Yeah. Right here. Mm. All set.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have to stand in the hall. You know, we can at least sit down in the living room till...
Sure, okay.
Won't you get overheated sitting there with your coat on?
No. Joe will be here. He's always on time. I want to be ready. Now, let's talk about something else besides flying. Huh?
Sure. Well, so Joe's going on to Japan.
Uh-huh.
How long does it take to get to Japan?
I don't know. 18 hours, I guess, something like that.
Imagine that. Halfway around the world. In less than a day, isn't it a shame that Magellan couldn't know about it? Wouldn't he be excited? My goodness.
Who?
Magellan. Ferdinand Magellan. First man to sail around the
world. Oh, that Magellan.
Do we know any others?
Okay, I just didn't know who you meant.
I wrote a paper on him when I was in the eighth grade. It's funny how those things come back to you. He set sail in 1519 with 240 men and 5 ships around Cape Horn, across the Pacific. Then he was killed in Manila, and only one ship, the Victoria, got safely back around Africa, home to Spain. One ship and 19 men returned 3 years later.
Fascinating.
What's fascinating is I should remember all that when I can't remember what day of the week it is half the time.
When I said, let's talk about something else, I really didn't have Ferdinand Magellan in mind.
Oh, I was just trying to take your mind off.
Yeah, well, you took it off. Oh, there's Joe. Now, I'll be home tomorrow night, and Please, don't worry.
No, no, and don't you worry.
No, I won't.
You got your scarf now? You got your gloves?
Yeah, in my pocket.
Sure. Briefcase, here's your suitcase. And keep your seatbelt fastened all the time, do you hear?
Yes.
Both in the car and on the plane.
Yeah, sure.
Remember, there are millions more accidents with cars than with planes.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, all right.
Even so, I wish the Wright brothers had done something else in their spare time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, my rabbit's foot. My keychain with a rabbit's foot.
Oh, rabbit's foot was the first thing I packed, darling.
Oh, okay. I'll be all right then. Well,
Goodbye, darling.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal. If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735. And get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Marsh, I feel relaxed for the first time since I don't know when.
Well, I'm glad, Angela. Can I order you a brandy?
Oh, I don't think so, thanks. Just some more coffee. Eh?
Mm-hmm. You sleeping any better?
Well, at least I'm sleeping. I wake up and then I drop off again.
Yeah. Have you thought about taking some time off?
Now, what would I do?
Well, go away. Maybe down to St. Thomas or one of the other islands.
Marsh, not well, Emily.
Now, listen. You have to take care of yourself. Emily's under my care.
Yes, but she's my sister.
Her illness is not acute. At least not at this time.
I know. But I still can't go on as though everything was normal.
Emily's illness is having a stronger effect on her family than it is on her.
You mean Jason?
You must know how worried he is, at least to some degree.
Well, yes.
Well, he's talked to you, hasn't he?
Well, there isn't too much we can say. I mean about Emily.
Don't you think you and Jason can help each other?
Oh, Marsh, I don't know. It's so complicated. Look, you've been telling me I shouldn't worry about something that's out of my hands.
I am not talking about normal concern, Angela. There's something, well, almost panicky about your reaction.
Marsh, if I could do something about it, I would. I don't know why I can't sleep. Why I'm on the verge of tears so much of the time.
Is that why you've been avoiding Jason?
Did he tell you that?
Well, not in so many words, but he said he could sense your remoteness.
Well, that's not true. I've seen Emily every day.
You didn't say you were avoiding Emily.
Maybe I've intruded in their life too much already, Marsh.
Jason doesn't think so, nor does Emily. I don't understand why you feel that way now, when they both need you so much.
Never thought I'd finish that.
Oh, is
That your English theme, Susie?
Yes, look, 10 pages.
What's the subject?
Audubon.
Oh, the bird man.
Yes, he was a great guy in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Daddy, what's the matter?
Why do you ask?
Well, something's wrong with Mom.
Did she say so?
No, she's as bad as you. Anytime I ask her a question, she comes back with a question. It's like a ping-pong game.
I'm sorry, honey. What do you want to know?
Why has Mom stopped driving the car?
Oh, that.
Yes, that. Mom used to hop in the car and zip all over. The other day, I asked her to take me over to the shopping center, and she said the car has to be repaired.
Well, cars do break down.
But when Mrs. Bailey offered their car, Mom turned her down.
Well, maybe she just didn't want to be responsible for someone else's car.
Taddy!
And for a very good reason, honey. Your mother has a little problem with her coordination right now.
Well, I thought that was better.
No, not yet.
Well, what's causing it? When is she going to get well?
Honey, it's just temporary. And if you want to be helpful, you'll give her a hand as much as you can around the house.
Sure, Daddy. Are you sure she's going to be all right?
Honey, she's on medication, and it seems to be working.
I thought that was for her headaches.
Well, it's for that, too. Now, look, don't bother her. Promise me.
Sure, Daddy.
And if you have any questions, you come to me.
You mean we're supposed to ignore what's wrong with Mom?
No, I didn't mean that.
We've always talked about things, Daddy. Before now, I mean.
I know, honey. I know.
Daddy,
I
always thought I'd understand more things when I got older. But it's not working out that way.
Well, Susie, life is a little like school.
Bad news.
As soon as you finish one grade, you're promoted to the next, where all the problems are new and usually harder.
Thanks for doing the dishes, Susie, dear.
Well, with the dishwasher, Mom, it hardly counts.
That's my girl.
Did I miss something?
Well, Susie and I were just talking about some of the difficulties in life and how we face them.
And from that, we get to the dishwasher?
Well, not directly, no.
I'm not going to run over to Betsy's for a while. I promised to help her with her math.
Okay, honey, don't be late.
I know.
Yeah, tomorrow's the school day. no bedtime reading request from Jennifer tonight? Winnie the Pooh or How to Make a Birch Bark Canoe?
Oh, she was thinking about it when she fell asleep.
You know, darling, I always thought when they learned how to read, that automatically eliminated the bedtime story.
But not the cuddling that goes with it.
Oh. Say, speaking of cuddling.
Mm-hmm. That was a setup, dear.
You didn't think I knew.
Oh, Jason. What were you and Susie talking about? It's not privileged information.
No, it's not, darling. She's noticing things.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she, asked why you stopped driving the car.
Oh, dear.
And I told her you had a coordination problem right now and didn't think you should drive.
Did she believe you?
I think so.
Oh, Jason, it's so unfair. I don't want to tell her, and yet I do want to tell her. Now, at her age, for me to shut her out, I've been thinking about what it'll do to her.
Well, darling, don't worry about that now.
Well, I have. And I've thought of something.
What?
Well, I started a diary so that I could write down some of the things I can't say or ask.
Oh, Em.
Darling, it was nothing terribly important. I just thought maybe the bits and pieces and thoughts, well, that maybe if I put them down, I'd understand them better myself. And then I realized it was something concrete I could leave behind. Might be able to tell what it was like and would let them know how much I love them.
Darling, they know. We know.
And it's for Angela, too, Jason. I want her to know in some way how much I appreciate all she's done for me. Oh, 3 o'clock.
No! That's not the way to go, Jason!
Here, I'll take your hand, Emily.
I'm not Emily.
If we're gonna walk up that steep path, you'll need me, Emily.
I'm Angela, and this is a road.
What did you say?
I said this is a road.
Well, no matter, as long as you're Emily.
No, I'm not Emily. There's Emily. She's ahead of us. Up at the top of the mountain, don't you see her?
No, I can't see her.
Oh, but you must. You married her.
Yes, I married you, Emily.
I'm Angela. She's right, Jason. She's my sister. Why are we here? It's dangerous. We could fall.
I'll save you, Emily.
You can't, you know, Jason.
There are two of you, two Emilys.
Oh, it's so cold up here.
Here, Emily, take my coat.
I'm Angela. Give your coat to Emily. I don't need it now. It would just weigh me down. Here I go. She's falling.
No, she's flying, flying away.
Oh, what was that? Oh, I was dreaming. Oh, God, what does it mean? We were up on a mountaintop, and Jason and Emily, and what does it mean?
To Hold has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.